So we are actually, were you here last week, Shoshana? No. So the point is that we are studying in chapter 15. So let's see how far we can get. Let's take chapter 15, which is
63.
Let's check that.
Page 40 at top. Page
40 at
the
top.
Right.
64.
Yeah.
Yes. Page 40 at the top, and it's 63 and 64 on the bottom pages. Okay. Now, chapter 15. This is a very crucial chapter in Tanya, because its basic message is, you know, there's a lot of information here, but the basic message to each of us is that the important thing is that we should be moving forward. We should be advancing. And a person could be possibly very observant, very religious, even very knowledgeable. But if they're not advancing, they're not doing what they should be doing. So chapter 15, Ubeze Yuvan, through this we will understand. Masha Kosov, now there's a verse that's written in Malachi. It says, Ushavtem Re'isem Ben Tzadik L'Rosha. You'll turn back and you'll see the difference between a Tzadik and a Rosha. Ben Oved Elekim La'asher Lo Yavodoy. You'll see the difference between someone who serves God and someone who doesn't serve God. Now we have four categories here. A tzaddik, a rosha, someone serving God, and someone not serving God. Now first of all, we understand what a rosha is. Okay, a rosha is someone who is doing bad things. A tzaddik, what's the difference between tzaddik and oived Elokim? And a man who's serving God, or a woman who's serving God. Yeah?
A tzaddik is a pious one, but a man who's just serving is just going through the motions.
That sounds good, but that's not actually how he explains it. The way he explains it is that the tzaddik has reached a level where, in a very powerful and permanent way, he's on a very high level. Oved Elokim is someone who is in the middle of the work. He's still making the effort. Now that making the effort is a very important thing, because that contrasts with a person who is not making an effort, which is called a person who's not serving God. So and lower than the person who's not serving God is the one who's called a Rosha. Now in Tanya, to be called a Rosha, you don't have to be a terribly wicked person who's going to get his name in the newspapers. Mm-hmm. If someone at any point willingly does something which isn't quite what it says in the code of law, says something, or even thinks something that isn't good, he will be called a Rosha. In Tanya, right? Tanya sets the bar very high.
Yeah.
So that means that the one who's not serving God, he's not a Rosha. He's actually doing all the mitzvahs, but he's still not serving God. Now, why is that? Can you tell me? You can tell me. Why?
Is he half-hearted?
It's not that he's half-hearted. It's that he doesn't have to make a strenuous effort.
Right.
You see, there's a difference. You can do something, you're doing it right.
Yeah.
But you don't have to advance. You're not making, it's not a strain for you. You're doing it. Wonderful. You're very scholarly. You know it. You understand it. You learn it. You teach it.
Is it without feeling?
I wouldn't say it's without feeling. It's without the intensity of leaping forward.
Right.
See, you could have someone every day He prays with deep feeling. But the way he prayed today is the same as he prayed 3 weeks ago. He's not making any extra effort.
Right.
Now, so Shahefresh, see that third line down, middle of the line? Shahefresh bein oved elokim letzadik. The difference between the one who is serving God and the tzaddik, who sha'oved hu l'shoin hove, is the word serving is in the present. Shehu be'emtza avoida, he's in the middle of the service. Shehi, and service means shehi ha'milchoma ma'yetzahar. The battle, that is the battle with the evil desire. Lehiska be'alov, to take control over it. To drive the evil desire out of the little city. The little city means the body of the person. That this evil desire shouldn't be expressed in the limbs of the body. This is in fact a very great effort. Lehilochem boi tamid, to fight against the evil desire the whole time. V'hainu ha-beinani. Now that's what the beinani is. The beinani is a person who is in a state of struggle because he hasn't killed the evil desire inside him. It's still there. The only thing is he controls it. How does he manage to control it all the time, minute by minute, every moment of his life? He's got a very strong will and a very strong desire to serve God, and he's not gonna blow it, not for a minute. It's like when you're driving. You're driving a car, you just have to keep your mind on the road. So imagine you're driving 8 hours, 10 hours. You're driving all the time. And as you're driving, you're just focused. There's no moment that you're going to relax and stop looking at the road and stop reacting when there's a car coming out of a turning there and there's a barrier over here. You're like all the time, you know what you have to do. Now that's the Beinoni. You see, the Beinoni, he knows that he is driving his own being and his own mind and his consciousness, and if there's something which appears which he shouldn't look at or he shouldn't think about or he shouldn't get involved, he turns, he's all the time aware. Someone starts telling him something which is not such a nice thing to hear, he says, look my friend, you know, sounds good but not for me, you know. Well, he makes a joke out of it. So the whole time he's careful what happens around him and to him, in spiritual terms. So that is the Beinoni, that's the Oved Elokim, that's the person serving God, he's in the middle of a big effort. Aval HaTzadik, but the Tzadik Nikra Eved Hashem, he's not called Oved Hashem, a man who is serving God, he's called a servant of God. B'Shem HaToya, with a noun. K'mo Shem Chochem HaMelech, like a wise man or a king. He's already become a wise man. He's become a sage. People know him as a sage. Or he's become a melech. He's become a king. Kach zeh kvar oved v'gomer legamrei. This person too has completed the struggle. Avodas hamilchoma, the battle, imara, with the bad inside him. Ad ki v'yigoroshayu v'yelech loy, till he's driven the bad out. V'libboi cholol bekirboi. And his heart is empty within him. Now the heart being empty within him means the heart does not have any lust for the wrong thing. The heart is only pure for good things. And it's ready to receive love of God. That's the kind of emotion the heart will have. It does not have the emotions which we would say are inappropriate emotions. It doesn't have that. That is a tzaddik. The Beinoni is not on this level. The Beinoni might have a struggle with his heart, but he controls himself. Now we come to a crucial point. Right, we're looking 7 lines up in the middle of the line. Now with the Beinoni, when we're talking about a person who doesn't sin, Yesh gam kin shtei madregos, there are also there two levels. Oved Elokim, the person who serves God, v'asher lo yavodeh, and the person who doesn't serve God. Now how can it possibly be, like we discussed it before for a minute, how can it be that a person is doing every single mitzvah in the Torah, he's a Beinoni, but he's still not someone serving God, right? This is what we're grappling with. But afa bichein, he's called someone who's not serving God, and even so, ain't a Rasha. We can't call him a Rasha, we can't call him an evildoer. Ki loy ova miyom av shum aveda, he never did any transgression. Kala, not a little transgression. Begamkim kol mitzvahs, he also kept all the mitzvahs, she'ef shaloy lekaimon, which it's possible for him to keep. He's a very frum man. The Talmud Torah connected kulam, and especially the learning of Torah. The loy posik pume migis, his mouth, he doesn't, he whenever you see him in a moment that he's got free, he's always studying Torah. But the problem is, here we have the problem in the last three lines of this page. He does not carry out any battle against his evil desire, lenatzchoi, to conquer it. You see, if the yetzahara, if the evil desire stands up against you, then you have to knock it out. You have to deal with it. How do you deal with it? One way is by having a very strong will. I am not going to think about that thing. Right? And so you don't, you've got that control. Another way is that you fill your mind and your heart with inspiration about Hashem. Now, if your mind and heart is filled with inspiration about Hashem, at that moment you don't have a battle, because the inspiration fills you. So because there's the inspiration, you don't have a battle with the evil desire. The evil desire slinks off and hides in a corner, because at this moment you're inspired with something positive. So in the last line, it says, the last two lines, it says how you conquer the evil desire. Lenatzchoi, to conquer the evil desire, al yedei or Hashem, through the divine radiance. Hameya al nefesh elokis, which shines onto the divine soul, shebamoyach, in the person's brain and mind, hashalit al alev, which rules the heart. So if you arouse the divine radiance, which is in Hasidic teachings and in an inspiring story about a tzaddik or a tzaddikes or something like that, and that beautiful radiance shines into your mind and into your divine soul, which then has an effect on your heart, then you don't, that's the way you win the battle. That's a very profound and beautiful way that you win the battle. So in other words, we're talking about a person who's got a battle, and he wins the battle because he arouses beautiful thoughts of the infinite greatness of Hashem, and that is what knocks the Yetzirah flat, and he doesn't have to worry about it. So that is a person who is serving God, because he's arousing this awareness of Hashem. But the person who's not serving God, he doesn't do this. Why doesn't he do it? The last line, Mipnesha ein yitzra oimed lenegdoi klal, because his evil desire doesn't stand against him at all. Levatloi mitarosa v'abodoso, to disturb him from studying Torah or doing mitzvahs. Ve'ein tzorich lilchoim imoy klal. Now we're on the next page. He doesn't have to battle with the evil desire at all. Now why is it, you know, what kind of personality type is this? You know, there are some people who don't have very strong negative desires. They just don't have strong desires. Kegoin shehu masmid bilimudoi. He is a person who likes studying Torah or whatever he's doing all the time. He enjoys studying. What is he like doing? What's he doing? He's reading a book. He's studying some text. B'tivoy, but mitoldosoy, by nature, from birth, that's what he likes doing. Al yedei tigboiris hamora shchoira, because he's a very melancholy person. Melancholy people, they're antisocial. They don't like chatting with friends. If you don't like chatting with friends, that's a very good prelude to spending a lot of time learning Torah. The person who has great difficulty learning Torah is the very sociable person. He likes chatting with people and hearing the latest thing that happened and a story and this and that. So for him to sit staring into the Talmud and working out what are the different arguments or something like that, he'd rather chat with someone. But the person who's a bit antisocial, for him, he just wants to study the Talmud. Leave me alone, I don't want to hear it, I just want to study. So in other words, he's studying Talmud, but it's really because of his antisocial nature. It's not because he's aroused himself and thought, what does it mean studying? It's so precious. My mind gets connected with God when I study Torah. It's so fantastic. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and devote the next 4 hours to studying Torah. And he does it. But this other chap, he doesn't do that. He just studies Torah because he doesn't like chatting with people. You know, Torah is very interesting, so he studies the Torah. He hasn't got any struggle with desires for women. Because he's cold by nature. Similarly, all the delights of this world, he doesn't have the feeling of pleasure in his nature. There's some people, you know, you show them a new gadget, yes, a new phone. This is the iPhone 5, but then there's the iPhone 6. Oh, the iPhone 6. Let me see the iPhone 6. What's the, you know, so a person gets very excited. Yeah, what's the difference? Oh, I must get an iPhone 6. Other people think, so what? Well, I don't know what it does anyway. You know, all I need to do is phone someone up and say hello. So they're not interested. So this person, he's not attracted by the delights of this world. And therefore, he doesn't have to battle. And since he doesn't have to battle, he doesn't have to think so much, Bigdulas Hashem, about the greatness of God, to give birth from his contemplation, ruach das, of a spirit of knowledge of God, v'yiras Hashem b'moichoi, and awe of God in his mind, to be careful, that he shouldn't break any negative commandment. You see, if a person is attracted to do something which is forbidden, so he thinks to himself, Hashem is infinitely great. How can I possibly do this forbidden thing, considering how great Hashem is? So he has to put a little bit of effort into thinking about how great Hashem is. And as a result of that, he doesn't do the forbidden thing. But if the person is not attracted to do forbidden things, you know, on the one hand, you'd say that's wonderful. He's not attracted to do forbidden things. That's a very nice thing. But it also means he doesn't have to make an effort. And because he doesn't have to make an effort, he doesn't have to think about the greatness of Hashem. And as John said, in a sense, he can just coast along. He doesn't have to put his foot on the accelerator. It's just coasting along. See, you wouldn't say he's not thinking about it or not feeling about it, because he is, after all, a very religious person. But he's not lifting himself up to a new level. So, va'avas Hashem b'liboy. Now, if it's a matter of a person facing that there are various positive things he has to do, he should fill himself with love of God, l'dovka boy b'kiyum ha-mitzvos, and that will prompt him to cleave to God through keeping mitzvos, for Talmud Torah k'neged kulam, especially learning Torah. Elab, but instead, this person is not, he doesn't need this input of thinking about God and inspiring himself, Dailoi ba'ava musuteres, for him it's enough, the hidden love, asher b'lev klalis Yisrael, which every Jew has got, shenikru oyvei shemoi, the Jews are called the lovers of God's name, v'lechein eina nikru oyved klal, and for that reason he's not called someone who's serving God, ki ava zua musuteres, because this hidden love, eina pu'u losu v'ibodesei klal, this is not what he should be working at. You see, we all have a hidden love for God in our heart. And the first base, the first step, is awaking that hidden love so that it flares into a beautiful flame when a person's davening, keeping mitzvahs, learning Torah. And that's a very wonderful thing. And for many people, you would say, that's a tremendous achievement. That really is something. That person, they were working at their job. They weren't thinking about anything other than simple material things, simple material pleasures. And suddenly, now they're putting themselves into Torah, study, davening, using their hidden love. Very nice. But maybe, so for that person, they've moved forward. You see, and at this point, when they've moved forward, they've achieved something very important. And that takes them onto a different level. That would be a person who's called serving God. But if you have someone who could serve God on an even more powerful way, and he doesn't bother, because he's not challenged, then he is what he calls him in this chapter, he's, so to speak, he's not serving God. He's very religious and very knowledgeable, but he's not serving God fully because he's not advancing. Now the thing is, the hidden love is our inheritance from our ancestors, l'chlal Yisrael, k'mo shekotz l'kamen, as we'll write further, and you could say that every soul who stood at Mount Sinai had there the most incredible experience of God, and it's just a matter of awakening that. But once that is operating, you then have the question, should he be doing more? Should there be a greater fire in the soul? And if you come out with the answer yes, then this person has to be stoking a greater fire, greater illumination inside him. And then you can have v'chein af mi she'ena masmid b'libodoy. There's a person who wasn't such a diligent student of Torah, but tivoy by nature, rak shehigel atzmoy. He trained himself, lilmoid ba'asmod gadoyla, to study with very great diligence, v'nasa hegel loy tever she'ni, and this custom that he now has of studying a lot has become second nature. So for him too, dailoi ba'ava musuterezu, it's enough for him to have the hidden love. Eile in kein, unless, writes a lilmud lo yoise mirigulusoi, unless if he wants to learn more than normal, then he has to put more effort in. See, that's the striking thing. If you want to do something more than normal, something extra, then you need more effort. And through this we'll understand what it says in the Talmud. The Oved Elokim, that a person who's serving God, who is that? Now the Talmud is discussing that in slightly different terms, but we're going to learn something from it. Hainu, that means Misha Shoino Pekha Meir Pomin Be'echod, is someone who, when he learnt a chapter of Mishnah, they learnt it by heart. That was the way they used to study. And then they would say it over by heart, 5 times, 10 times, 20 times, 40 times, 80 times, 100 times. That was the normal thing. Each chapter Mishnah that they studied, they would say over 100 times. What does it mean, serving God, says the Talmud somewhere else? To say it 101 times. If you say the Mishnah, the chapter of Mishnah that you've learned 101 times, that's called serving God. And what's not serving God? V'loy avodoy, the person who's not serving God, haynu misha shoyne pikum mea pomin lubad, is someone who says it over only 100 times, no more. Why is this? Why is 100 times not serving God and 101 times is? V'haynu mishum, this is because shebimeyem, in the days of the sages who wrote this in the Talmud, hoya haregilus, the normal style was lishnois kol perek, to learn over, to say over each chapter by heart, mea pa'omim, 100 times. That's what they used to do. They would say it 100 times. So that's normal. The point is, you want to lift the person out of being normal. It's not enough to be normal, you got to be extra. You got to be special. And the person who's serving God is in some sense special all the time. He's all the time making an extra effort. Now in the Gemara it brings a moshul for this of a taxi driver. Only they didn't have exactly taxis, they had mules. But the mule was the taxi of that day. K'di'isa hosam b'gemara, as we learned there in the Talmud, moshul, a parable about this, mishuk shel chamorim, of the donkey driver or the mule driver market, shenizkarim, and you go and you hire a mule. Okay, right, you want to hire my mule, how far do you want to go? 6 mile limit they used to have. Yeah, up to 6 miles was on the clock. After 6 miles, the taxi driver would say, we got to work it out. It's a different sum. That'll be £30. was a different picture. So, you want to hire this donkey, this mule. La'esa pasi bezuza. If you want to take it for 10 pasa, that's a measure. Let's say 10 miles. I can't remember the exact rate, you know, what it is translating. Let's say 10 miles. For 10 miles, it's 1 zuz, £1. Ule achadasa pasi, but if you go 11 pasa, 11 miles, betrezuzi. It's twice the price. Now, why is it twice the price? Mipneshu yoisim irigulosim, because that's more than their custom. So the mule and the mule driver is used to going 10 miles. And that's the normal thing. But if you want to go 11 miles, you have to pay double the price. V'lechein, and therefore, going back to the person saying over the chapter Mishnah that he studied, Zois hapam ameh v'achas hayesera, this 101st time, which is more ala regilus, more than the normal style, shehugu mineurav, that he was taught from youth, shkula keneged kulam, it counts as much as everything. Because he's doing that bit extra. He's saying it 101 times instead of 100 times. Va'oila al gabein, and it's much higher than them, but Yesus says for Yesu oz, and it's a much greater thing. Liyos nikra oivet alakim, and because of that, he's called someone who serves God. Mipnei, because shekedei l'shanois teva haragilas, in order to change his habit, instead of doing it 100 times, to do it 101 times, tzorich la'oire es ha'avo la'Hashem, he has to arouse real love for God. And how do you do that? Al yedei shemisboinen, through thinking deeply b'gdulas Hashem b'moichoy, about the greatness of God in his mind, lishloit ha'la'teva shebechala la'smoli, to take control of his nature in the left-hand part of his heart, hamole dam nefesh, which is filled with the blood of the soul, abahamis, the blood of the animal soul, shemei aklipa, which is something which conceals God. We've gone over the page. Shemimenu huateva, and from that animal soul comes one's nature. Vezuhi avoidetama lebeinani, and this is a really good service for the beinani, to go the extra mile, to do that extra bit. Even in society today, with our sports ethic and various aspects of life, we are willing to admit, yes, you got to be able to go the extra mile. Oi, oi, lo oire es ha'ava musuteres. Now, coming back to the person who's got the hidden love in his heart, well, has this love been fully awakened? To arouse the hidden love in the person's heart, Limshol al yodo, to control through it, alateva shebechal al asmali, on his nature, his animal soul, which is in the left-hand part of his heart. Shezunik regamken avoida, that is also service of God. Lehilochim imateva v'hayetzer, to battle with one's nature and one's ordinary animal desire. Al yidei shema'oida ava hamasateres v'liboi, by arousing the hidden love which is in one's heart. So that is what we should be doing. We should be arousing the love in our heart in order to serve God a little bit more, going a little bit extra. And the immediate realm, I mean, a person might look through what they do, whether it's Shabbos or Kashrus or so, and the mezuzahs on their door, and tefillin, and lighting Shabbos candles, and so on. You know, they could say, well, look, I'm doing it all. Well, one place where there's always more to be done is in davening, is in prayer. That the person can put a little bit more meaning and effort and spirituality into his or her prayer. Masha'ein kein, which is not the case, because she'ein lo milchama klal, the person who's got no battle at all, he's just happy with the status quo. Ein av zumit zaratzma nikles avodas klal. Even if he serves God with what you would call an emotional feeling, but he is doing it in a way which is just for him, it's conventional. That's how he does it. Very nice, he had a good upbringing, went to a Hasidic school, learned to pray in a spiritual way, and that's what he does. But there isn't any extra something. And so serving God means finding that extra something. That's what chapter 15 of Tanya is telling us.